was just talking to one of my friends in the bathroom, and then she like walked out of one of the stalls, and we looked at each other and we were like, oh my gosh, it's Yanya. So then we went to ISO. I just was talking to my coach, one of my coaches, like, I can't do it. Like, I felt sick, I was falling asleep. It was only my third World Cup, and being in finals felt crazy. So I was just so excited. And then when it was cancelled, I was, yeah, really upset. My first thought was like, oh no, what if I'd never make a finals again? They'll just like make a comment or say like, oh, like if I was as light as you, I'd do that climb.
Welcome to another episode of the That's Not Real Climbing podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm excited to introduce my guest for today, Emma Edwards. Emma is a boulder on Team GB, and 2025 was her debut in the Senior World Cup circuit, and she's already made a World Cup finals. However, if you don't recognize her, it may be because that was Prague where her finals got rained out. In this episode, we'll go over all the mishaps that happened at Prague, including an allergic reaction. We'll learn about her training schedule, Team GB, and the climbing culture in commercial gyms, and how often she goes through climbing shoes, which kind of blew my mind. I hope you enjoy this episode with Emma. Please pardon this brief intermission, but I'm excited to talk about Madrock's newest and softest shoe yet, the Remora Pro. If you like being able to feel the chips you're standing on, and you like not having to worry about standing on sketchy volumes in competitions, then this is the soft shoe for you. They also have a crazy 3D heel that allows you to get more surface area when heel hooking, and inserts that lock your heel into the shoe no matter how hard you're pulling. Feel free to message me if you have any questions about the shoes or sizing, and you can use the discount code NOTREALCLIMBER for 10% off your entire Madrock order. Thank you to Madrock for helping to sponsor the podcast. Now back to the show. How was your holidays?
Yeah, really nice. Thank you. And you?
Yeah, it was good. Do you have any like New Year's plans or resolutions,
Oh
ideas?
gosh. I've not really thought about resolutions. I want to be
It's
more
coming up.
organized. Yeah, I need to get on it. But yeah, I don't really know, to be fair. Do you have any New Year's plans?
Not really any plans. I always try to make a resolution to like start stretching, but it's just
Yeah.
so freaking boring. I can't do
It's
it.
hard, isn't it? It's like I used to have such a perfectionist mindset with it as well, and like I think starting is the hardest part, and I would be like, if I couldn't, like the thought of doing it badly, I was like, no, I just can't be bothered to do it. But actually, like, doing something's better than nothing. But
What's
for,
doing it badly for
like,
stretching?
I don't know. Like, I went through a phase where I would have to do like 30 seconds in each stretch, and I'd do all my stretches. And then doing it badly would just be like, not, I don't know, just not doing it properly. And then I would just find it really hard to start because I'd have this whole thing in my head of, God, I have to get through like stretching. But then I think since I've been a bit more like relaxed with it, I like do it way more now and it's better.
Okay. What's your routine look like? Or I guess you don't have a routine because that would be too much perfection.
Yeah, maybe. For stretching, I think it's I try to stretch like every day.
Oh.
Not every day is like a big stretching day. Like if I'm tired, it's like going to sleep is more important, I think. But I definitely like try to do a bit of like massage gun and foam roll, and then when I can't stretch, I don't
Yeah, I tried to get like a split one year.
know.
Very, very short amount of time that I spent trying to do that.
No, I always have the goal of middle splits, and I've never done
But
it.
it, like, I was doing it, and I think maybe I was doing it too hard.
Oh,
Like, I
really? Like
was,
overstretching?
yeah, I think I was just like stretching too extreme for what I was able to do. And then it made my knees hurt really bad.
Oh, really? I guess sometimes if like when you're holding middle split, it's like the inside of the knees that hurts me. Some I don't know. Was it that or?
It's kind of like when you maybe like fall and then it like bends the other way too much.
Oh, are you hypermobile or? Oh my
No,
gosh.
it was
Just I
just too
don't
much on the knees, I think. So then
know.
I stopped and then I never picked it up again.
No, middle splits. I feel like I'm relatively flexible, but Like box splits or middle splits is the one that I just like, I can't do. And I need to be like committed for like a
Yeah.
long time and consistent. But
Do you think it would help with climbing?
yeah, for sure. I think it's like the most important one for climbing, with like keeping your hips into the wall, and especially in with slabs and everything. But it's the one that I'm worst at, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
But oh well.
I wasn't trying middle splits though. I was trying to do front splits. That's the one where your leg is in
Oh,
front of
this
you, right?
one.
Yeah, it wasn't for like climbing. I just thought it'd be fun,
No, that's cool. That's cool.
but maybe that can be your resolution as well.
No, for sure.
How is winter training going?
Winter, it's going really well, actually. Yeah, I've started working with a new coach. And yeah, it's going really well so far, I think.
What does your training look like?
So currently, I've actually switched to doing 3 days on, 1 day off. Last winter, I did 6 days on, 1 day off.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was, I think it like, I don't know, it's definitely beneficial in some ways, but then in other ways, it's not beneficial. Like, I think if you do it right, it can be useful. But to, I don't know, to do it right is hard. And then I'm only doing Boulder, so I think maybe this year the thinking was more like I'll try to have like three like good sessions like with skin and then a rest day and then just repeat. But yeah, I'm doing three on one off and just like everything really, like climbing, gym, I don't know, the usual.
Like strength training and hangboarding, stuff like that.
Yeah. I think most sessions I'll have like some form of like fingerboarding or like I do like those pinch pickup things. And then I'll have like a climbing session, which could be like SABs and then power endurance or like comp blocks and then a hardboard session. And then not every day, but a lot of days recently I've been having gym. It's very much like I don't know, it feels like it's like let's get her as tired as possible and like push our arms as much as we can.
Is your coach there like the entire time while you're training?
No. So he writes my training plan and then I see him like once or twice a week in person for sessions.
That makes sense. What did your 6 days on training look like? That sounds crazy to me.
Last winter, yeah, it
Yeah.
was a lot. It was more like I would do like hard day, easy day, hard day, easy day, kind of. So maybe like the third day would be like slabs and conditioning or something. So I'd have skin for the next days. But it was just a lot of climbing, a lot of gym. But I think if you like build up your capacity and you can train that much, then it can be okay. I don't know.
Was it mainly just like a skin issue?
Yeah, I think I did. I think now I'm preferring the three on one off to the 6 days because I just have more skin and energy for the sessions and I can make them like better quality sessions, I think.
Did you ever like tape up your skin to get through
Yeah,
the sessions? Did
for
that work?
sure. I think, I don't know, it's really annoying and it's annoying. Like I've definitely found it mentally hard at first to be like taped and not doing a climb and knowing if I untaped that I would find it okay. I think it takes like a lot of maturity to be like, no, it's fine. Like it doesn't matter. It's just training, can tape. But when I was doing 6 days, I definitely spent a lot of sessions taped, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if that's helpful too, because then it makes you, I don't know, like work your grip harder
Yeah,
or work your
no, I
body
think maybe
positioning
it could be a
better.
thing. I think Erin spends a lot of time taped up and she has really strong hands, so maybe it's the method.
Yeah, actually, I wonder if I should try that out.
Just tape up for every session. Get stronger hands.
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like for me, I'm so texture dependent. Like, if the texture on a hold isn't good, I'm like over it.
Yeah, no, same. I hate a badly textured hold.
Yeah, so I think maybe I need to work on that now that I think about it. So yeah, let's get into learning more about you and your climbing. How did you start out getting into climbing and competing?
My parents both climbed a little bit in uni, like not properly, but they occasionally went like outdoor climbing. And so I think when I started climbing when I was 10, We were visiting family in France, in Paris, and we went to Font, and I think that was my first time climbing. And then we came home, and I think I asked to go, like, I just asked to go climbing. And then, like, 6 months later, I joined a kids' club, and yeah, I just, like, really liked it.
Did you do like family trips?
We did when I was younger to Font, yeah. It was really nice.
And then when did you actually start competing a bunch? Or like when did do you like remember a moment when you decided to start doing it seriously?
So I started competing like quite soon after I started climbing. There was like this competition circuit called the Youth Climbing Series in the UK, and it was like you do regional comps and then you try to make it to the national, like, grand final, they used to call it. So I did that like 6 months after I started climbing, but when I like took it seriously, I think that was maybe when I was like 15 or something. I like just, I don't know, I decided I wanted to get onto the GB team, and yeah.
What inspired you to want to get onto the GB team? Or like, how do you make the decision that, I don't know, it's like hard for me to imagine being so young and deciding that it's something I want to do, I don't know, like professionally or take really seriously.
It kind of like just like built up. Like, I started with the regional comps and the national comps, and then I would like make national finals, and just seeing all the G people in the GB team, it just felt like the next step. And then, like, I really wanted to go to the internationals, and I don't know, yeah, it just felt like the next thing that was coming. I don't know.
Like it just, yeah, you don't feel like there was a specific decision. It was just like this makes sense as the next thing to
Yeah,
do work towards.
I think so.
Okay. So yeah, this was your first year in the senior circuit, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean it was a crazy first year in the senior circuit. I think you
Yeah,
made
it's so
semis in
cool.
all World Cups except for one.
Yeah, apart from Kachow at the start of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. How did it feel and what did you learn from the 2025 season?
It was really cool. Yeah, I didn't expect it to go so well. Like, obviously I hoped it would go well. But it was just like crazy to be competing with the people who I've watched like on my screen for so long, and to like just be in ISO, and just even like seeing them warming up, it's just like insane. And yeah, I think I learned a lot about like myself and the comps. And
Was it like your first time like traveling around for competitions too?
With the youth team, I'd already done like a decent amount of traveling around Europe, and then for Youth Worlds, I'd been to
Oh, right, yeah.
Dallas and South Korea and China actually before. But it was definitely like a very different experience in like having all the comps back to back. That was, yeah, very new for me, and I think I could have done things better. I'm not sure. I think, yeah.
What would you like change about the traveling for next year?
Not sure. I think I need to figure it out for next year. But I definitely felt that I got like physically quite tired by the end of the season, and I would hope to like yeah, hopefully with my coach we can figure out how I maybe don't get so tired. Like, maybe it's a case of like training more or training a bit less. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I'd like to figure that one out.
Like you were still doing training during the season?
Not like kind of like not training so much. Like, I wasn't doing long days, but I was still doing like shorter hard sessions because you want to stay recruited. I don't know, I think it's a hard balance to find like the right amount to do. I find it quite hard to like know what my body needs, but hopefully with like the past year and everything, I can figure it out a bit better.
Yeah. And you also said it was cool to be in ISO competing with the people you watched on screen.
Yeah, it was
Who was
crazy.
like, who are you like most, like, did you feel nervous warming up next to them? Was there like anyone that you super looked up to that?
Yeah, I remember in Kachao seeing like Miho, and I was just like fangirling so hard. Like, oh my gosh, just like seeing her in person was crazy. And then I remember seeing Janya for the first time in Innsbruck. Like, that was insane. I think I was just talking to one of my friends in the bathroom, and then she like walked out of one of the stalls, and we looked at each other and we were like, "Oh my gosh, it's
Did
Janya."
you say anything or you just kind of
No,
stare and
just like tried not to like be too obvious. But yeah, I think it was really cool to like see those people in real life, and yeah, everyone's just like so nice, and it's really cool.
I wonder how she feels when she just like walks out and sees people like whispering about her to the side. But yeah, how do you feel like warming up in that environment? Like, does it feel nerve-wracking and scary warming up next to people like that?
I think I definitely found it intimidating at first, 'cause just like watching people, like everyone is so impressive and like so strong, like the moves they're doing on the spray wall. I was especially like in Kachao, I was just like, oh my gosh. But I think as the season went on, I became more comfortable with it for sure. But definitely at first, I found it quite intimidating.
Yeah, I bet.
My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
One of the audience submitted questions that had come in was, how has the transition from youth to senior been for you? And do you have any advice for youth climbers going through that transition?
Yeah, I found the transition from youth to senior like good, but also hard at times, because it's just that you're going into a much more competitive and harder environment, and everyone is just so good, and there's so many people, I think. If I had advice, it would be to try to be confident, because it's really hard at times. And I definitely found like going into senior, I had a lot of like self-doubt, and just when you like see the start list and you see all the names on the start list, it's hard to look at that and think, how am I meant to compete against these people, because they're all so good. But they're also just people, and like everyone's in the same boat. Like, yeah, I think that would be my advice.
Did you feel like there was a difference in the actual boulders between youth and senior? Like they climbed differently?
Yeah, I think senior one's definitely a bit more powerful in my opinion, which is really cool. Especially like in semi-finals, like the power boulders are usually really, really hard.
Is that more of a strength for you, or do you get nervous when it comes to like power boulders?
I don't think it's my strength, but I think in competitions, I climb power boulders. I find them the easiest to like get into a good mindset and try my best on. Like, I find slabs in comps quite hard, but power boulders, it's just like, okay, I know this is going to be really hard. I know I'm going to have to try as hard as I can. And I feel like in a comp, I can get into that headspace, or like, yeah, quite well.
Yeah, what's your mindset on slab?
I really like slab, but I find slabs in comps quite stressful, and it's something I really want to improve at next year. I think it's one of my main goals, because in training I feel quite confident on slabs, and then I get to the comps and I like think about the slabs and see the slabs, and they make me so stressed. But yeah, it's definitely something I'd like to be able to work on and be able to show some good slab climbing next year.
Is it like the time pressure or like the number of attempts that get to you?
I think it's a lot of the time it's the sequence. I don't think I've ever been the best at like reading sequences from the ground, especially on slabs. So I like rely a lot on my intuition on the wall. And then if I'm not feeling confident, it's hard to rely on that. And I think I struggle with being confident on the slabs in comps. So hopefully for next season, I can be more confident.
Yeah, I think I'm super bad at reading from the ground too.
I think that's something I need to work on,
but I don't know how to work on it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And then sometimes I think it's better to use your intuition, but then other times like you need to have like a plan A, a plan B. I don't know. It's hard to find the balance.
How do you feel about like coordination style?
I love coordination. Like I think it's my favorite kind of climbing. Yeah, I really, really like it.
Do you have any tips there for how to figure them out more quickly?
I think for coordination, a lot of it is like giving 100% from the get-go and just committing like properly. And even if it like, because if it doesn't feel good, at least you know that you've given it 100% and you know it doesn't feel good that way. I think that's really important. Because if you don't commit, then you don't know. Yeah, just for me, often with coordination, I like think of the position I want to end up in. And then I trust my body that it's gonna get me there. And I just give it my all, I think.
So one of the comps that you did the best in was Prague. You ended up being in a finals position and then the event got rained out. Yeah. So what was that experience like?
Prague was kind of crazy. So before the qualies, it was an afternoon qualies. For my lunch, I had some I had some breadsticks and hummus, and it just looked like normal hummus. I eat hummus all the time. I really like it. And then I ate some and my lips like started tingling and I was like, oh, this is really odd. And then I like check the ingredients and I see that it's like peanut butter hummus and I'm allergic to peanuts. So then I started to have an allergic reaction. And this was
how bad is it?
I'm not anaphylactic, so my throat doesn't close up, but I was like getting like hives and yeah. And then my stomach started to hurt and I like took my pills and everything, my antihistamines. But it was like just before I headed to ISO, I started to have the reaction. So I was just there like, oh my gosh, like what have I done? Like, this is so bad. But then, I don't know, I went downstairs, we were going to head off to ISO and the coaches were just trying to be like, no, you're okay. Like they were just trying to calm me down and like, they were really good and like really supportive. So then we went to ISO and then I just like, I felt so bad at this point. I just was talking to my one of my coaches, like, I can't do it. Like I was just like falling, I felt sick. I was falling asleep. It was just everything. And then it was raining and the comp got postponed. So we got moved to some like museum and then we were there for a couple hours, which was actually a blessing in disguise for me. Cause I think, my reaction was like not so good at that time. I was like going really hot, then really cold. Then my whole body went red. Oh, wow. I don't know. It was kind of crazy. So we moved to this museum for a couple hours. We went back to the ISO for the comp. And then I was still like having the reaction, but it was like coming in waves and it was definitely a bit better. But I remember like warming up, I felt like so, so bad and like awful. But then the comp went ahead and it was at like 8 p.m. I think the qualies, and by the time I actually got to like call zone for qualies, the reaction had kind of stopped, but I hadn't eaten in like since the hummus because I just couldn't stomach anything, so I had like no energy. And yeah, I think the coaches were really good. Like I was kind of freaking out and like, I'm not going to make semis. I really want to make semis. Like, this is all my fault. Like, why did I eat the hummus? But they were like, no, you can still make semis, like your body can do more than you think, but it doesn't matter, like you're doing all that you can do. Yeah, they were really supportive. And so I did qualies and I felt like so bad. But then after qualies, I was like, there's no way I've made semis, like, because I only got like two tops as well. And I was just like, no way. So we walked back to the hotel and then I just like checked the results. I was like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm in semis. And then I was like over the moon. Like I couldn't believe it. Like I was in semis. And then semis, we had a rest day in between. So the allergic reaction was all good by then. And semis went really, really well.
What about that semis went super well for you? Like, was it just boulders that fit your style better?
I think it was a mixture. I think the boulders really suited me. And I think that because of the whole drama the day before, I was just, and because I qualified in the last place as well, I was just like so grateful and happy to be there that I climbed so freely and I was just climbing really well, I think.
And then you were getting ready to like climb in finals afterwards, right?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know the timing for how it all happened. Like you were still preparing for finals. Did you already start warming up or how did that go?
Let me think for finals. Yeah, so me and Erin arrived in ISO and I think we'd both started our warm up and then we got told maybe something would like maybe it would be delayed a bit, and then I think we did some games or something. We were doing like a Harry Potter quiz at some point, I think, or maybe a Friends quiz, I don't know. But we definitely started the warm-up and then we got told we were going to go out for presentation and we like got changed and whatnot, but then we were told the event was cancelled and we were just all like, oh my gosh, I don't know. It was hard.
Wait, I thought how did you do a Harry Potter quiz or like Friends quiz if you're not allowed devices in ISO?
Oh, it was just like we would think of questions.
Oh, seriously? And...
wow. Yeah. I don't know. I think Erin and one of our coaches are both like quite big Harry Potter fans. So they were like competing and one of the other coaches was asking questions.
Okay. Yeah. That's funny. Huh. Sounds fun, I guess.
Friends quiz was better, I think.
Yeah, I was also a big Friends fan. So yeah, I guess how did you feel about not getting to compete in finals? Or did you have any feelings of like nerves or excitement for finals?
I think for finals I was like just so excited because I didn't expect to be in a finals. Like it was only my third World Cup, and especially after qualifying in the last place, being in finals felt crazy. So I was just so excited. And then when it was cancelled, I was really upset. And my first thought was like, oh no, what if I'd never make a finals again? And it's not like the first thought you want, but I found it really hard, I think. And I think I found Bern World Cup quite hard because it was the World Cup after, and I just like put too much pressure on wanting to be in a finals again.
Yeah, I guess pressure and like expectations is kind of always really difficult for athletes to work through. How do you feel about like the mental side of competitive climbing? Was another audience question that came through.
Yeah, I think the mental side is something that I still need to work on quite a lot, because I think it's really important. And I think being confident is really important in competition climbing, especially. But I think I've never seen like a sports psychologist or anything. I think it's definitely something I might look into before next season because I think it'd be really useful.
Is there anything, thinking back on your performance in Bern, that you would have wanted to change?
I think I wish I could have enjoyed the semi-final more. I think it's kind of silly because I'd only made like one final, but just because it was cancelled, I found it quite hard to enjoy it because I was only thinking about making the final, and rather than like being grateful for being in the semis and like being present on the boulders. Yeah, I wish I'd enjoyed that more, because I think for me, I climb my best when I'm like happy. And yeah,
I guess, like, what were your thoughts during the semis on each boulder? Because I feel like personally for me, I mean, I've never done any competitions where there's like an ISO format, but during competitions, I am thinking pretty hard about like what boulders other people are doing versus ones I haven't done. Is that kind of what you mean when it comes to getting in your head during competitions when you're trying to think about getting into finals?
I think kind of the comps where it, or the rounds where I think it's going the best, I end up not thinking about the external factors and stuff I can't control. But sometimes, yeah, I do. I had, like, in the past, I've definitely thought some of those things, like if someone tops a boulder next to you, rather than like being concentrated on my boulder, my mind's going to that. And I think, yeah, it's hard sometimes.
And then, oh, do you get prize money from being in fifth place at Prague? If you're interested in ad-free episodes and would like to unlock over 4 hours of deleted scenes, including one where Emma talks about paddle dyno tips and ISO activities, do consider helping support this podcast on Patreon. Some other perks include a membership pin shipped to you after 2 months, prioritized guest questions, or the ability to submit video questions, and more to come. The proceeds go back into the podcast to help me break even, and they help me improve the experience of the guests. If you'd like to help out non-monetarily, liking, commenting, and sharing helps a great deal as well. Back to the show.
Yes, I did actually. I think I got
1.5k,
which was quite good.
Oh, wait, that's not bad.
Maybe like 1,300 euros, actually. I'm not sure. But I think it was one of the good tiers for prize money. Like, I think there's like a silver, platinum, or something like that. I think Bern was high prize money too.
Oh, there's like differences between each World Cup?
Yeah, Prague and Bern were higher prize money than other World Cups, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I heard like for some World Cups, the like even first place only gets like 2,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Usually it's, I think Bern was double what some other World Cups were. I mean, I could be wrong. Like, I don't want to spread false information.
No, that's interesting, but, though.
Yeah, I think it depends on maybe the, like, individual host, I guess.
I think so.
Federation.
A little.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I didn't know there was, like, so much difference between different comps, though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then another like general question, I think you're kind of one of the slightly taller athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like remember that ever playing to your advantage or disadvantage at all during the season?
I think, yeah, it has its advantages and disadvantages. Definitely, some coordinations I think are easier if you're taller. But also there was definitely some boulders this season that I found hard because of, well, it's not because of, like, it's something I need to work on, but there are definitely some small boxes this year that I could like train to fit in better, I think.
What kind of moves are harder for you as a taller athlete?
I think like bunched positions I find quite hard, and like getting in and out of small boxes. But it's like, it's something I can work on. So just need to get my middle splits.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Yeah, more stretching needed. So now getting a little bit into GB climbing. I feel like specifically the past couple years have been kind of crazy for Team GB. Almost seems like it came out of nowhere a little bit. What do you feel like it is that contributed to that? Is it like inspirational past athletes, like having Shauna as like a, I don't know, what's the word, like idol or someone to look up to? Or is there like good gym density? Or what do you think contributes to it?
Yeah, I think the team's definitely transitioned a lot in the past couple of years. And everyone is doing so well. It's crazy. I think, yeah, it's really useful to have like Shauna and people like that to look up to. But I think it's just, I don't know, I just think everyone is working really hard and everyone is looking around and you see all these people working hard. And yeah, it's really cool to be surrounded by really strong climbers at the World Cups. Yeah.
Is it because you guys don't even have like a national training center or anything, right?
No, no. So we used to have a training center, but it wasn't amazing. And then last year, I think a lot of the guys especially really struggled with getting on World Cup level or style boulders, because a lot of the stuff you just can't set in a commercial gym, and they just wouldn't set hard enough for the guys. So this year, we've managed to get a bit more support. And so instead of having a training center, GB decided to have to use some money to set climbs in depot climbing centers. I don't know, they're quite a big climbing chain in the UK. So now we've got these project boulders up at different centers across the country, and I think it's really, really good. And yeah, it's useful.
I guess it's surprising to hear that the team was struggling with having hard enough boulders set before, because I think everyone was doing super well last year as well. Like even on the men's side, like you had like Toby and Max and Diane and like so many strong people.
I think
so. It's like surprising to hear like all of that was just on commercial sets and like spray walling.
I think a lot on the spray wall and a lot on the woody board for sure. But also when they would all train together, they would make up like a lot of moves and just like push each other a lot. They would always do like slab eliminates and do everything they can to practice the World Cup style without having the World Cup boulders. And I think them training with each other, they pushed each other really hard, and that was really good.
Okay, yeah. What about like on the female side, like do you feel like the setting at commercial gyms is decent enough to train on for you guys?
I think it physically it's okay. Like if you make your way around enough centers, you can definitely get enough physical boulders, but I think a lot of them aren't in the World Cup style. It's more just like it's kind of quite basic, a lot of the climbing. But with the new Mint boulders, with the collaboration between GB and Depot, it's really good, and we've got like World Cup style holds and World Cup style setting, and the right level. So it's been really, really useful.
Yeah, I guess for a lot of people who, well, I would say most people don't get the chance to experience the difference between like World Cup setting and commercial setting. How would you describe the difference and what it feels like?
I think World Cup boulders are usually like more dynamic and harder to read sometimes. Like you have like multiple options, and sometimes you have to pick between options, and also you just get like bigger moves, and slabs just take up the whole panel. And in a commercial center, it's hard to, like, you can't really set like that, so it's hard to get exposure on the World Cup style slabs when you don't have them.
Yeah, I guess I've seen a decent amount of commercial sets just because through like YouTube videos that like Aaron or Toby posts.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I see pretty interesting, at least dynamic boulders. Do you feel like the dynamic boulders compare at all to World Cup boulders?
Yeah, I think occasionally we do get some really good dynamic boulders, but compared to some other nations, maybe we don't get enough of them, or like we'll get like one a month and it'll be really good, but then we won't get another one for another month. But I think it's changing a lot now, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, I think it's just from the videos. I feel like you guys have a lot of fun comp style setting, but it's hard to tell just from videos.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I feel like British people have always been like killing it in the YouTube scene. I don't know why.
Yeah, there is a lot of British YouTubers, I think.
Back in the day, like, there was a whole, like, vlog squad on YouTube. And now,
oh, like, Zavala. Oh, really?
No, I'm talking about that, too. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love... Do you watch her videos now?
No, I just saw that she started, like, posting videos again.
Yeah, oh, I've started watching them again. I love them. I don't know. It, like, brings me right back to 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. It's just, like... I don't know. Ever since YouTube started, it's been very like British focused.
Yeah, there are a lot of British YouTubers, to be fair.
It's interesting. Did she just start posting again, or was she posting the whole time but people weren't watching?
I'm not sure. Maybe she was. I hadn't watched her since like 2016.
Yeah.
But then a couple years ago when she had Otterly, one of her kids.
Wait, what is that? Oh my god, she has kids now.
Yeah, she has two children. It's insane.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
Yeah, and her dog is still around, Nala.
It's oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I've been watching her recently. She posts it like Christmas, and her kids are so cute.
I'll have to take a look. Yeah, they were so cute. It was wholesome times.
Yeah, no, 2016 was a good year.
But anyway, I guess back to the climbing portion. Yeah, a lot of British YouTube climbers as well. So that's interesting to see. Another audience question that came through, it felt like you also burst onto the climbing scene. Do you have a similar feeling about that? Like, do you kind of feel like it was a slow build, or did you feel like you did a lot better than you expected this season?
No, I think I did do... better than expected this season, because I obviously didn't do World Cups the previous season, because we didn't have that many spots and I wasn't at the level to get one of the like two spots we had, I think. But I think definitely like over the years I've improved, but this year was definitely my biggest like jump, I think.
Yeah, I guess from the audience perspective, it was kind of like you just showed up in semis and no one had heard of you before because most people don't watch like youth climbing. A lot of people don't watch like the European Cups either. And so you kind of just like showed up and did pretty well. And so I'm assuming people are probably kind of wondering, like, did you kind of know that your level was up there, or did you feel like you were competing at a different level?
The previous season, I'd started to get like good youth results, and I won the European Youth Championships at the end of that year, and then I really wanted to make it to the World Cup team for the 2025 season, and then before the season we had the British Championships, where I came second. But I didn't know, like, I knew that Erin was at a really high level, but she was, like, she was really strong. And I didn't really have, like, a gauge of what level I was at. But, yeah, and I think, I found it, like going into Kachao, I found it hard not really knowing where I was at. I don't know, like I got a lot stronger and I felt a lot stronger, but...
My name is Mackenzie and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child the mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Yeah, so I guess going back into climbing in the commercial gym scene in the UK, what is the UK like climbing culture like? Since I feel like you guys also have a lot of gyms around.
Yeah. I think on the whole, it's really good. And I really like going to like my local gym and seeing everyone there. There's like a bit of a crew on the wooden board and they're like all so supportive and yeah, I think on the whole, the culture is nice, but definitely there's definitely negative sides to it. And sometimes, like, I find a lot of the gyms are still quite male-dominated, or, like, the training spaces can be quite male-dominated. And I find it okay, I think, now, because I'm, like, confident within myself and... Yeah, but I definitely found it kind of hard growing up sometimes with that male-dominated space.
Interesting. I guess, like, what do you feel like that came with?
Just sometimes, like, when I was younger, or, I mean, it happens now, but I just don't let it bother me, really. But it's just, like, I would go on a climb, and let's say some guy was on the climb as well, and I would like flash the climb, and then they'll just like make a comment or say like, oh, like if I was as light as you, I'd do that climb. And oh, I was just like, no, no. I remember one time I was doing like one armor training, and then a guy said to me like, oh, like how light do you have to be able to do them? And I was just like, no. I don't know, just like, yeah.
I've heard people like talk about that on like Reddit before, but it's never actually happened to me before. No, yeah. And I'm like very like stickly. So I guess I'm surprised that no one's ever said it to me. But yeah, did you have like a response for that or did you just walk away?
I think I just kind of ignored it, like didn't give it the time of day.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if like anything weird has happened to me. I know people have mentioned like, or sometimes I kind of get the feeling that I'll come off of a climb and then they'll like try it to see.
Oh my gosh. The gut when the guys see you on the climb and they, yeah, that's the most annoying thing.
Yeah.
I get it all the time. Like I'll be on like V9 or V10 or whatever. And they'll be on like a V3 and then they'll suddenly, like, I don't know. I'm all for like people coming to train with me and like trying the same climbs as me. Like, I think that's great. Like, and like pushing yourself on climbs that are like too hard for you. But when they're on like a V3 and they see a female on a hard climb and then try to pull on, it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But
so I mean, annoying. At least they can try it and then see that it's not so simple.
Yeah. Have you ever had them like, I don't know, the other day I was on this board climb and this guy came over from another area of the board because he saw me on this climb and he like tried to pull on, like couldn't pull on, tried to do the first move, couldn't do the first move, and then he like walked away like holding his back and I was like, okay.
That doesn't happen to me as often because I don't think I'm climbing things that are as hard. But well, actually I don't know, maybe the culture is pretty good because if that does happen a lot of times, I mean, I feel like a lot of times they'll just be watching from afar and then if I send it or don't, they'll just talk about like how hard it looked or that, or like a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I could like never do that. So yeah, maybe the culture here is just a bit more nice. at least vocally. I don't know what they're thinking inside their heads. But yeah, that's unfortunate that it's still kind of like that. But hopefully maybe it'll shift.
Yeah, I think like recently, I think we're seeing a lot more women in the gym. And I think like 90% of the guys you meet in a car, they're all are lovely and are so supportive. But there's definitely still a bit of that around.
Yeah. So then outside of climbing or like competition climbing a bit, do you get much time to climb outside or does it interest you at all?
I do have a lot of time now, to be fair, because I'm not in uni anymore. But just with training, I don't have so much time or like skin, I guess, to climb outside. But I really enjoy it and I would love to get out more.
Do you have any like projects in mind or is it just like you really don't have the time to even think about it right now?
I've not thought about it like properly, but I do want to go try. I don't know if you've heard of the Joker or and the Ace. They're like, it's an 8A and an 8B at Stanage. In the
Peak
District.
I've never even heard of that area.
Okay, right, never mind.
Oh, I guess the Peak District, yeah. But I'm like very not outdoor climbing.
Yeah, no, don't worry. No, there's a couple like Peak District classics that I want to try. But other than that, I've not really thought about it, but I would love to get outdoors more.
I mean, fine by me. I love competitions. So that's that's all I want to talk about. You mentioned that you aren't doing university this year.
Yeah.
But I guess, were you doing it before?
Yeah. So I did my end of school exams and then I took a gap year. And then I started uni in Leeds. And I was studying biology. And then that was until I was in first year, and then earlier on this year, I decided to drop out. And I want to go back, but I just want to focus solely on the climbing for now, I think. I think in the UK, it's quite hard to do both or like do both well, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess you can always go back at some point.
Yeah, I think my thing, I don't know, it was hard because I've always been like really academic and really liked school, but my thinking was that I can go to uni anytime and you can only be a comp climber at like one time in your life, really. I don't know. Well, not only, but I don't know, like there's a limit on comp climbing and you can go to uni anytime.
Yeah, it's, you got to take advantage of your working body when you're young, I guess, is what I
think. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, I think I follow a similar thing. Like I should do all of the crazy sports that I can now and then save.
No, definitely.
Yeah, save the sedentary hobbies for later. Like I have a whole plan of like what I'm going to do once I can't move anymore.
I feel like a lot of my hobbies are the when you can't move hobbies, to be fair. Like I love like a crossword or something, but
okay. Yeah, what else do you like to do without using your body?
I really like baking. Bake quite a lot. Baking, crosswords.
Interesting. Well, what do you like to bake?
One of my favorite bakes is like this passion fruit cake I've made. That's really good. And then I think just a lot of cakes, to be honest. I make a good chocolate and strawberry cake too.
Do you also do the decorating or just the cake baking part?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Cake decorating is going to be one of my sedentary hobbies one day in the future.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Do you do like extravagant decorations or is it just like...
No, I'm not that good. I'm just like, okay. I just do it for fun. Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah, no, that's a fun one. I'm excited to do that. Back when you were still studying and doing climbing at the same time, what did that balance look like?
I think it was quite hard, especially so when I was doing my end of school exams in my school, we do like A-levels in the UK in your last 2 years of school. So you pick three subjects and you do them. I was doing maths, chemistry, biology. And in my school, we had to be in school full time and like 9 till 4 or whatever. And then I had training as well. And I found that hard, but also I wasn't training as much as I do now. And then during the gap year, obviously it was fine. And then when I went back to uni or when I went to uni, I found it like really, really hard because I was training to try to get on World Cup team like 6 days a week. And then I was in uni like 4 days a week. And it was hard with like some lectures would just be timed so badly. And yeah, it was not like sustainable. I was like so tired all the time. And I was like missing lectures, like missing parts of training. And it was like not good.
How many hours a day were you doing training?
Maybe like 6, I would say. I very much like prioritized the training over the uni. Like I would do my lectures, but a lot of them were online, and I was on like the sports scholarship thing, so I spoke to my supervisor and whatnot, and I could do a lot online, but it was still just like so much to do all that, I think. And I, yeah, didn't want to do both badly.
I guess, were you also living at home at that time? I don't really know what the school experience is like in the UK, but I guess like in the US, you're like living in dorms on campus, and then it's kind of like the whole experience.
So I moved into like student halls. There was like four of us in a flat and we shared a kitchen. But then, since I dropped out of uni, I've moved back home, and now I'm looking for apartments in Leeds because I want to move over there for training.
Is that like where the better gyms are?
Yeah, I think Leeds, Sheffield, Manchester is like the UK climbing triangle at the moment. But I think for comp climbing, the better gyms are in Leeds and Sheffield. And I think also the scene over there is better at the moment, and training with other strong comp climbers is really good.
Yeah, it always seems like that helps. Okay, cool. So let's move into some of the other grab bag audience submitted questions now. The first one from Kaito102, how do you decide which gyms to train at, locally or internationally?
Locally, I think it depends what's on my training plan. I try to like look at the focus of the day and pick the best gym possible for that. But obviously some days I'll be able to go to Leeds or Sheffield on the train, and some days I'll have to stick to because I'm currently based in Manchester. So I think I just kind of pick the best day for the plan and what I can do. I think during training camps, like we go to Paris a decent amount for training camps. And you just go to the gyms with the best boulders, I think. Like maybe we'll ask someone on the French team, like, oh, like what gyms are good. And then similarly, during the season, the coaches will talk to other coaches and it'll be like, oh, this gym's good. They've got good comp boulders up or something.
And then I guess like when you're traveling for competitions, do you have like a method of picking gyms to train at?
People just ask around, and we talk to our coaches, or we'll talk to other athletes and be like, oh, this gym wasn't very good, this gym was good. And also you can see a lot on Instagram, I think. Like I always like go on the gym's page, look what they've been tagged in, and then see if the boulders look any good.
Yeah, that makes sense. Next one from ADHD Climber One. What's your advice for making climbing shoes last?
Making climbing shoes last.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm the best to answer this question because I feel like mine don't last very long.
How long does it usually last for you?
Gosh, I mean, I'll use a different pair for unless there's like a comp back to back. I think I'll use a different pair for every comp.
Wow, really?
But in training, like not even like 4 weeks. I don't like maybe like 3 weeks or
What?
something. I don't know. It depends how much sab I'm doing. But if I'm doing loads of sab,
Whoa,
like
seriously.
yeah, I mean, and it depends how long I wear them. Like if I wear them till they die and get holes in, or if I don't. But I think, yeah, I really don't think shoes last me that
Oh
long.
my gosh, I think I'm training wrong because mine lasts for like a year and a half at least. And I thought
Really?
that was short. Yeah, what? Holy crap. Wait, so, and for every comp, you usually do a new pair?
I think, yeah, like for comps, I like them to be broken in like a specific amount. I
Yeah, what's your like timeline?
don't really have a timeline, but I wear Dragos, and sometimes I like when there's like a like the branding on the bottom of the shoe. When that's gone, I think that's a good indicator for me that that's like the perfect shoe level.
Yeah. Oh, that's so specific. But yeah, that helps because I have noticed that too.
But if the comp's like between Prague and Bern this year, I think I wore the same pair. But I didn't like train in them in between, so I had a different pair with me to train in. So I'll like do that sometimes, but if yeah, I'll yeah use different shoes for every comp, and then but like recently I've been just using old comp shoes, like getting through all them, so I don't
Yeah,
let
that
them go
makes
to
sense.
waste. But
Wow. So, I mean, that's like how many boulder comps in a year? Seven pairs of shoes during the comp
yeah,
season? Wow. Holy crap. I had no
expensive.
idea. And I can't believe you go through it in 4 weeks. I think I'm not climbing slab properly, maybe.
Or you are, and I'm climbing slab badly and just like going through the shoes.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. Although I think sometimes I am a little too careful with my shoes. Like sometimes I think I'm not committing to a move specifically because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to use a lot of rubber. Like if I mess
That's
this up.
funny. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. No, that's interesting to hear. So no advice for making climbing shoes last.
I don't think so, no. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I have advice for breaking them in.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, I recently I got this advice from Quinn, who's on the US team. So I can't like claim to have come
Okay,
up with
yeah.
it. But I've been bringing a hairdryer to the wall. So when it's cold, I like blast the shoes with the hairdryer, and it makes breaking them in so much easier. And then I also wear like plastic bags to break them in because otherwise it's too painful. But yeah. But the hairdryer is such a good hack, especially for the winter, I think.
Yeah, I bet. I don't really experience that much winter here in California,
Oh, you're in
but
California.
yeah, but it does still get cold in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I usually just kind of like sit on my shoes for a while
Yeah, no,
before
that
putting them
probably
on.
was too, to be fair. Maybe you don't need to carry around the big hairdryer with you.
It seems nice though. I think that would be more comfortable. Okay, cool. Next question from Daniel Strucker. What was your favorite boulder from the Brussels European Cup? Where
Ooh.
you got first? So congrats on that.
Thank you. My favorite boulder was definitely the last boulder in finals. It was this paddle dyno. And it was so good. I didn't top it actually. I fell off the last move, but I really, really liked that boulder. That was really good.
Was that like the competition winner for you, or like the what's the word?
Oh, like the comp, the boulder which won me the comp, or no, actually, it was the only one I didn't top in the finals. It was the last one. But yeah, I don't know. I really, really enjoyed that comp. It was maybe one of my, or that round, it was maybe my favorite round or one of my favorite rounds of the season. And I think like, I don't know, the crowd was just like so good in Brussels and the music was so good and my round was going really well. And it was like the last boulder of the final and it was a coordination. I love coordination and like the music was good, the crowd were cheering. I just had so much fun on that boulder, even though I didn't do the last move. But yeah, it was really good.
What's good music for you at a comp?
Think just like upbeat music, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Next one from John Ford 19. What's the intensity between TC and World Cups? I don't really know what TC is.
Like training center?
Maybe training camps? Maybe?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, during training camps, you're training, so you're pushing yourself obviously really hard. And obviously, in a World Cup round, you're pushing yourself hard, but before the World Cup round, you're resting and recovering and making sure you feel good for the World Cup. So I guess there's, I don't know, I think they're very different things, like training and then competing.
I guess, are the boulders set for training camps harder or easier or about the same as World Cups?
Oh, like during a mock comp round or something.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah. I think it depends on the training camp, but I think they try to make them the right level. I've definitely done training camps where they've been easier, the boulders, and definitely the training camps where the boulders have been harder than World Cup boulders. But I think it depends on the round. But often in a training camp, I think it's better if they're harder because then you can go back and work on the boulders after, and that's always quite good.
At least from a viewer's perspective, it's hard to think that they would set something harder than a World Cup, but I always forget that during a World Cup, you only have so many minutes to actually send it.
Yeah, I think if it's not a simulation, training boulders are definitely harder than World Cup boulders because there's only like, I don't know, like there's so many incredible climbers, but also 4 minutes isn't that long. So if they're limit boulders, they're not going to be in a walk. Or yeah, they're going to be harder in the training camp.
Okay, and last question is from Process Physio, so from Andy, which I think
Oh, he
you're
used to
familiar with
coach
him.
me. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So he says hi, first of all, and
Oh.
then his question was, does your brother Luke climb harder than you yet?
No. Any no. Maybe he will. No, I hope he doesn't. But that is actually like one of my goals. Like I can't ever let him climb harder than me. I think he would be better than me on like a big campus move, but everything else I've still got him.
How old is he?
He's 17, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he started climbing when he was like 14. So he's not been climbing that long.
Oh my gosh, it's
But
only been 3 years. Wow.
he got like when guys like go through puberty and they get so strong, he just got so strong so quickly. Like he can do more one-armers than me, which does break my heart. But I still climb harder for now. So that's good.
Nice. Yeah. Is he trying to, I guess, like, does he have climbing goals of like competing, or is he just doing it for fun?
He does comps, but I think right now, like he's in school and he just loves climbing. He goes climbing all the time. He doesn't do it as seriously as me. He just, yeah, but he really enjoys it. I think climbing's quite addictive. A lot of climbers, even if they don't do it like seriously, they still do it seriously. I don't know.
I guess I'm surprised he actually started so late, considering you were already climbing a lot at that time.
Yeah, I think when I first went climbing, we did take him climbing as well. But I remember he like took a fall or something, and then he just decided he didn't like it. And I think also because I was doing it, maybe he didn't want to do it. I'm not sure. Yeah. But then, yeah, he got into it a few years ago, and now he climbs all the time as well.
But I guess you don't want him to get too into it because then he might start beating you.
Yeah, I can't even be stronger than me. That'd be terrible.
I agree. Okay, well, that's all the questions I had then. Thanks for joining me today. Any like last minute shout outs or words of wisdom that you have? Tips for coordination moves or anything like that?
Tips for coordination moves. Do as many as you can. Never avoid them because it's going to make the problem worse. And just be confident. Like, if you commit, I don't know, what's the worst that can happen?
True. Well, you could slam into the wall.
True. But I think sometimes as well, when you take the slam into the wall, it's like, well, that's the worst that can happen. So then you can commit. I don't know. Yeah. People are going to go like slam into walls.
Yeah. And do you want to let people know where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm emma.climbing on Instagram.
I'm surprised you managed to get that handle.
Yeah, I've had it for quite a while, to be fair, since I was like 13. Actually, yeah, there's another girl who I'm friends with called Emma, and she used to have the handle, and then she like merged her accounts or something, and she gave me like advance notice. She was like,
oh wow,
you can have the climbing handle now.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you again, and it was amazing to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Otherwise, you are a super fake climber. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, I'd appreciate if you rate it 5 stars, and you can continue the discussion on the free competition climbing Discord linked in the description. Thanks again for listening.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $1.99. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $3.99. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $2.99. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox. Save.